I'm going to read about four or five passages of Scripture here this morning, and we'll come back and talk about them. If you want to look those up and follow along with us in your Bible, it's going to be Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 5, and then the little book back in the back of your New Testament, 1 John chapter 5. And then Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2 first, because that's our primary scripture. And we're going to be speaking to you on the subject of working out our own salvation. Working out our salvation. So in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Paul is writing to us. It's the Word of God, been inspired by the Word of God, so it's God's Word to us. Wherefore, my beloved, so he's speaking to believers here, Christians, and whether you like it or not, as far as God is concerned, you're beloved. He loves you. Aren't you glad? Somebody say amen, amen. As you have always obeyed. And I hope that's true of all of us. Maybe we don't always obey, but when we don't obey, we can ask the Lord, and he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Here's our text. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 8. But what saith it, or what says the Scriptures, or the Word? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Notice it's a word of faith which we preach. That if thou, and what is the word of faith that we preach? And it is a word of faith. It's not a word of fear, and it's not a word of a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a word of faith. We trust the Lord with it. And when we put our trust in him and we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he says, him from the dead, that has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So our salvation is by faith. We become righteous through that believing. And then we make a confession with our mouth, and we're saved. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, he didn't ask us to be good so he could save us. He knew we were no good, so he had to come and save us and send his son to do that for us. And he bore our sins in his body on the cross. So we sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, there's a whole lot more than his just dying for us, and we being sinners, much more being now. So when we put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being now justified by his blood, justified means just as if I had never sinned. Isn't that a good word? We shall be saved from wrath through him. So when the judgment comes and the time of God's wrath is poured out, great white throne judgment, and all of the people are being judged according to their works and cast out of God's presence, we're saved from that wrath. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Little book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record. In other words, it's recorded. Not only in God's word, but in God's kingdom, his heaven. It's recorded that God has given. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It's given. Amen? What has he given us? Eternal life. That means whenever we die here physically, we already have eternal life. We have his life, being born again. We're going to talk about that probably in a minute. We have eternal life. And this life was in his Son, and that's why he gave his Son. So that he that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son of God has not life. So the whole question of it is, the matter of our salvation is, do we have the Son or do we not? And that's a matter of our receiving the Son. Verse 13 of 1 John 5, these things have written unto you. You, me, we are one of those yous. Amen? This is to you. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. There's some people say, well, you can't know until you get there. Well, if you get there and you don't know and you can't say that you know, then you don't have another. That's it. You're done. He wants us to know now. Amen? We need to know. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we confess that with our mouths, at that moment or at that instant, we're born again. Amen? We don't have anything to do with that other than that we believe that God does that when we do what he tells us to do. When we do what he tells us to do with regards to believing to him, at that instant, at that moment, no matter where we were, when we did that, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the moment we did that, we were born again. Can somebody say amen? That means we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I remember one time I was praying to the Lord about some of the things that I had done in my past, which I'd already asked him to forgive me of a long time ago. And I was asking him again for some of the same things. And he said to me, not in an audible voice, but in a voice in my spirit where I've learned to hear him. How many of you have learned to hear the Lord's voice? You need to practice that. Lord, I need to hear your voice. And he speaks to you in our conscience. Amen? And we need to learn to hear that, because if you don't hear that, you're going to be missing God's voice. And there's a lot of things he wants to talk to you, us about. Not just religion. He wants to talk to us about our jobs and about our relationships with husbands and wives and children and what we can do here and what we do. He knows more about finances and banks and checking and anything than we could ever think of. And so as one of his children, how many of you have children here? If you have children here, If you see your children hurting, or you know your child's hurting, or you know that something's going on in your child's life and he's sad and he's depressed and he's frustrated and he needs some help, you don't just say, well, go on, that's your own fault. You just suffer with all of that. You want to help him, right? You want to help him. And the same thing is, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, he wants to help us when we're discouraged, when we're disfrustrated, or whatever is going on. He wants to help us with our finances. Did you know if you pray about... Can I tell you a vehicle car story? I learned a long time ago that when you pray, if you're going to buy something, whatever it is, a house, a car, or whatever, those are pretty expensive items nowadays. I mean, we're paying. Have you noticed that? I don't know if anybody's tried to go buy a new car right now, or a truck. My goodness, I could have bought two houses 20 years ago for what we pay for our vehicle nowadays. You with me? But God wants to help us with these things. And I remember I had an old, whenever I got away from the Lord, I dropped out of college, I quit going to school, I said, I don't want to be a minister, God, get out of my life, leave me alone. Can you believe that? But he told me later on when I got back right with him, because I didn't think after I'd said that I'd ever get back right to him. He said, Lewis, when you said that to me, that sounded just like a little three-year-old telling his mama, I don't love you, I hate you, because you won't let me do what I want to do. So, whatever you've done, the Lord says, if we'll come to him, he'll forgive us, and he'll help us. So, I was praying, I was coming back from, I lost my job, I quit another job, my dad said, well, I'll take over, I just bought a new car because I was making good money, I was living in Houston, and I was a regional sales director, I was over a lot of companies all, and salespeople all over in several states, and I was making real good money. I quit that job because God said, I want you to go full-time. I went to work for another man. I lost that job. Oh, and I quit that job, too, anyway. I was out work. Dad took my car. Someone bought my house I was paying for. I lost everything. All I had was an old Ford station wagon. And it was about to break down. And I put everything that we had, my wife and I, and we had two children, a son and a daughter, put everything in the old station wagon. The left rear wheel bearing, after I'd made the trip all the way from Houston and was going over the Harbor Bridge into Corpus Christi, the left rear wheel bearing went out on that old vehicle. And sparks and fire was going everywhere. I just drove on, made it to the house that we'd already pre-rented. And so I needed a car. And so I heard, I think Kenneth Hagin or some preacher on radio, I was listening to preachers at that time. I was trying to get back right with, the Bible said, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, right? Amen? Do you believe that? Well, just draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. Talk to him about things. Ask him for things. You have not, he says, because we ask not, right? So, I was listening to a preacher, and he said, be specific. Be specific. And when you pray in your prayers, be specific and tell God exactly what you want. So when that wheel bearing went out, and I had gone to work out here at Reynolds Metals Company and was riding with a group of men, thank God, that they were sharing rides. There was about five of us, and we shared our rides, so I didn't have a car to share, but I rode with them until I could get one, so I rode with them to Reynolds, from Corpus to Reynolds Metals. And so I was looking at a Reader's Digest, I think it was, or Life Magazine, or Time, one of them, and I saw a brand new, and this was 1967, I think it was, or 66, a brand new Chevrolet Impala Super Sports. And I remembered that preacher said, be specific when you pray. I went and found that magazine, opened it up to that picture, and I didn't have any money. I didn't have enough money so I could buy one. I didn't have a down payment. I didn't have anything to trade in but an old broke down Ford station wagon. And I put my finger on that and I said, Lord, I want a super sport Chevrolet just like this. I'm going to be specific. I want that. So I waited and waited and waited. Don't ever get in a hurry. Because God likes to teach us patience. And the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. Amen. So when we ask for something, just believe God for it. And it may be stupid and ridiculous, like my request was. That was really a stupid. I could have asked for any kind of car, just a car to get along in. But he said, you have not because you ask not. Asking you. So I showed him a picture. About 3 weeks went by, and I got a phone call from my brother-in-law. They lived, Sandra and Gary Morris lived in Portland. I didn't know they had bought a brand new car. And he called me up and he said, Lewis, I just got a job. Chicago Bridge and Iron, they're sending me to Jamaica for 2 years. Just bought a brand new Chevrolet Impala Super Sports. Would you drive it for me for a couple of years? Amen? I said, praise God, would I drive it? Let me come get it right now. So I drove a brand new Chevrolet Super Sports for 2 years. Didn't cost me a penny. See, I'm trying to tell you, you say, well, that's just because you were a preacher. No, that was because I'm a child of God, just like you are. God is no respecter of persons. We're all, if we're children of God, we're children of God. And that's all that matters. We're children of God because we've been born again, amen, into His kingdom. So I've learned a lot of things about praying. About everything. Can I tell you another story? This just happens to be about cars. Because I'm a car nut. If my wife was still alive, she'd tell you. Don't talk to Lewis about cars. Get him started. He'll want to go buy one somewhere. So, I was going to tell you another car story. See, what lie was I going to tell you this time? No lie. I had bought my daughter, my kids, we have three children. I have a son. He's back there at the back. Lewis, raise your hand. So, yeah. Just one. That's fine. Lewis Jr., and then Rachel, and then Leslie. And anyway, so what did I was talking about cars. I was going to tell you about another car story. Now, huh? Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, thank you, Lou. I always need some help. Yeah, so I bought cars for my children as they graduated. And I bought a Leslie, our youngest daughter, when she graduated here in Ingleside, I bought her a brand new car. About 9 months later, she met this guy and been going with him, came in the house, handed me her car keys. I made the down payment on it. She was going to make the payments on it. You with me? Dad, we're getting married, and he already has a car, and we don't need this one, so I'm giving it back to you. And I said, oh, my God, thank you. Now I was paying for a truck, and my wife a car, and now I had her third car. I was in a bind. I was in a bind for 3 or 4 months. And I'd been praying. Finally, I said, Lord, well, this is how this happened. I was driving that. I was working for an engineering company over in Corpus. And I was driving that car that she gave back to me. I was driving that vehicle sometimes to work. And I told my boss where I was working, I need to go to the jailhouse because I had a church member whose son or daughter's son had gotten into the New Estes County Jail. I didn't realize the story was going to take so long, but I want to give you all the details, I guess. So I told my boss, I said, I need to leave here, be gone for about an hour. I got to go to the jail and visit somebody that needs my help. And he knew I was a minister, so he said, go ahead. So I was driving down SPID on the way to New Estes County Jail, and I was talking to the Lord about what I needed to say to this person, and because I didn't know anything about him, and I like to hear what he wants me to say and talk to about people about and all of that. So I was praying about him, and it was just like Jesus came. I'm not saying he did, but it was just like he did. Came and sat down in the passenger seat, front seat with me. And I was just, you know, I just kind of visualized that he was there and I was talking to him. That's what prayer is, incidentally. And that's the way he wants us to talk to him. Are you with me? And so I was just talking to him. What do you want me to say to this person? And he was talking back to me. And so I got to thinking as I was driving along there, while I have him, he's right here, and while I have him in a good mood, I'm going to ask him about that car that my daughter turned back to me and I've been trying to pay for 3 or 4 months. And when I asked, I said, now, as he was about to leave, I said, now, Lord, about that car. And he laughed. I didn't have to say anything else. I just said, about that car. He looked back and he laughed. And as he was going away, he said, it'll be sold by tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And he was gone. God wants that kind of relationship with you. You're one of his children. Don't miss out on that. We need that. How many things do you think you could talk to him about that he can help you with? With God are possible. Amen? The next morning, a guy, because I'd gone all over the place, sent ads out and everything else trying to sell that car. Next day, a guy came up to where I was working. I was working at the Naval Air Station. Came up to the Naval Air Station, asked for me, because I had, and I come out, he said, you have this Pacifica for sale? I said, yes, I do. He said, is that it right there? I said, yes, it is. He said, I want to buy it. And he said, I'll write you a check for it right now. And I looked at my watch. And it was exactly 10 o'clock. I don't know how to say this. God is the best friend you will ever have. And you don't know just how much He does love you. And how much He cares for you. And another thing you haven't maybe realized yet, how much He wants to do for you. Not because you deserve it, because none of us deserve it. Because He loves you. And He knows what's bothering you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a car or an airplane or a boat or something like that. It can be everybody that's ever been married has marital problems, including preachers. Amen? He can help us with those. He can help us with everybody that has ever had children and got them up to teenagers. Boy, you have a problem sometimes, right? He can help us with that. He can help you with anything. But one of the things that He can do, and the most important thing that He can do when you're in a situation is, He can give you peace in the midst of your storm. And He can give you encouragement. I got it. I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to be in a dizziness spell over all of this. You don't have to be discouraged. I have it. But you have to ask. He says, we have not because we ask not. The Bible said, pray about everything. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How many of you here that are Christians that God's answered your prayer? Well, every one of you that are Christian ought to have your hand up, because the first prayer you answered, God, would you save me and forgive me of all of my sins? And He did. When we were yet in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. It doesn't make any difference. So we work out our salvation. This is the title of this message this morning. Work out our salvation. And what I've just been explaining to you is how you and me and we as individual Christians work out our salvation. Because the next verse says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it's God that worketh in you. It's God that's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How many of you ever done something for a child? You didn't have to, didn't need to, but you did it because you loved them. They needed something, you just gave it to them. And it was because of your good pleasure. It pleased you to do that. You wanted to do that. Amen? That's the way God feels about you and me, we. It's His good pleasure. He delights in blessing His children. And that's how He works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as He works in us, you see, we can't work out anything unless He works in us. And so the things that we do with the ability and the power that He gives us. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we don't know what to pray for, just get into the Word. One of the things that we need, you see, because we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ by accident. This book right here, this Bible, is our food. We have to get this. We have to read it. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, I don't understand. I've been preaching it for 60-some-odd years, and there's something I still don't understand in there. Are you with me? You don't have to understand all of it. But what you don't understand, and the main thing is we don't understand, is that when we're reading that, that becomes, because we're a spiritual being. There's a spiritual realm. Can you see the air in here? Can you see the oxygen? It's here. If you didn't have oxygen when you breathed, you wouldn't be alive. So whether you can see it or not, it's here. Right? That's the same way. And so whether you can feel it or see it or not, you're a spirit being. And we live in this physical body. Every time I do a funeral, and I've done a lot of them over the many years in the ministry, over 60 years I've been in the ministry. And I always tell them, what you see here in this casket is not Joe Blow. That's just the tent that Joe Blow lived in while he was here. Joe Blow is a spirit. God gave him this body so we could see him. And he gave us a body so he could see us. But as the Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Are you with me? So what we see there is the body without the spirit. The spirit's gone on to be with the Lord. Amen? I live in this body, but this is not me. I look out of these windows we call eyes, and I can see you. And you can see me because we're in a body. But I can't see in the spiritual realm. All over this world, in the spiritual realm, there's angels and there's demons. I can't see them. But being in the spiritual realm and associated with the Lord, I have to deal with them. And I know whenever somebody comes to me or they have a problem or an issue and they're dealing with demons, Jesus cast out demons. His disciples cast out demons. A person can be demonized and not even know they're demonized. But if you've got things coming into your mind and things that are trying to control you, then you need to get on your knees and get close to the Lord and say, am I demonized? If I am, you need to get delivered. Amen. And He will deliver you. And if you need somebody, if you have somebody, if it is a Christian friend and they're a Christian and you're a Christian and you all have faith in God, then get them together with you. You don't have to go tell everybody and the whole brother and their son and all the whole country that I've been demonized or that I had a demon or whatever. Just find some good Christian friend or pastor or whatever. I don't go telling about everybody. I don't go telling, Lord, I'd never get through talking about people if I spoke about people that I've helped over the last 60 years. I can't even remember it all. I'm going to share one more story with you. And then I'll close. And I don't... Now, you can go to places, and a lot of things crazy happen in the ministry. And I'm not faulting any of those. I've seen all kinds of things happen to people as they were being prayed for. And things that I didn't do. I mean, God did. Well, we had a lady that was attending this church. And she'd met a guy. And she was lonely. Lost her husband or didn't have a boyfriend or whatever. And she met him, and she was living with him, and he was living with her. And she came to me and told me that he's supposed to be a Christian. He was coming to church with her, and they were going to get married, supposedly, and get their lives squared away. And so she came and told me some things that were going on and some issues that he did and what he thought about and what he believed about God and all of these kinds of things. And so I said, okay, well, I can't do anything about that because I can pray. But if he's here sometime, maybe if he'll come to the altar, I can pray for him. So one Sunday night in this church, they came. Sunday night was not a really good attendance night. We did at one time have like 250 people come into this church and members. We had a school graduated. We had 45 to 50, 60 students here. Church has been through a lot of different things. But this guy came and he sat right over here on this front pew on a Sunday night. When I asked for anybody that wanted prayer to come forward that night, Sunday night, two or three people came. He was one of them. I think two of them came on that side, and he came on this side. And he knelt right there about where this tissue box is. And I prayed for those over there, and then I came over here, and I reached out to lay my hand on him and to touch him. Fire, literal fire, came out of my hand as I reached forward to touch him. About that far, maybe a foot, fire came out of my fingers and hit him right here between the eyes and his forehead and knocked him and rolled him underneath that pew over there. How many of you have ever had an experience like that? That's the only experience I've ever had like that in my whole life. That guy rolled over, got up, and looked at me with eyes that big around, ran out of this church. And the next morning, she called me and told me he had packed all of his stuff, loaded in his car, and he was on his way back to Alabama, Tennessee, wherever he was going. He found out you don't play around with God. You don't play around with God. With fear and trembling, when we mess, it's a fearful, the Bible says, it's a fearful thing, and that's the only place that I know of in the Bible that we're told it's a fear to be fearful. And he tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In other words, we need to stand in awe of God. He loves us dearly. We need to understand that, but you don't mess around and play with Him either, because He is God. Amen? I'm going to shut up. So let's everybody stand. If you need prayer, you want to talk to me or anything about anything, I'll be here as we close this service, and I'll be glad to talk to you. Or you can call Scott or Mary. They're the ministers here in this church. I'm just the Pastor Emeritus. That means retired. But I'll pray with you. Now, Scott and Mary will pray with you. They're not here this morning because Mary's down with the flu. Scott, when he called me and talked to me the other day, he was running a little fever. He's not running fever now, as far as I know. But they have sickness in their home, so they couldn't be here this morning. So pray for them. Amen? How many of you are glad you're here this morning? Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to ask my son if he would to dismiss us this morning.